we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Thursday morning here in Brevard County. Hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. We might as well rejoice and be glad in it today, don't you think? Well, you can be mad or glad or sad. You make the choice, but as for me, I'm gonna be glad today. And so we are thankful that you have tuned into the Refresh Radio broadcast. It's brought to you by the saints at Merritt Assembly of God. And they really are passionate about bringing this radio broadcast to you. We do thank you for tuning in. And like I mentioned a few days ago, if you have any prayer requests or praise reports you would like for us to join with you in either bringing before the throne or celebrating what God has done, let us know about those things, and we will pray and we will worship God with you. So I do want to encourage you, keep up that season of prayer that you were doing. Just because the 30 days of prayer designation is over doesn't mean that your prayer has to stop. I will never forget hearing a statistic about how little amount of prayer. I want to tell you, with all of America's problems right now, one of the problems that we are not facing is the problem of too much prayer. We are dealing with insufficient prayer, ineffective prayer, but there's very little evidence of an epidemic of God's people praying too much. And so I just want to encourage you, if we're not going to pray now, when are we going to start? When are we going to start? So, but that, I'm just about to get into the lesson here already. So, I'd better stop that and get started. Amen. Verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 1 is where we were reading yesterday. We'll go on down to verse number 12 and we'll pick up where we left off. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand, to trample my courts, bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. So let's begin with verse 11. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. We're going to talk about it a little more today. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? Today, at the very beginning of the day, I want to ask you this question. Why are you doing what you do? Why are you doing what you do? I will never forget the time that God asked me this question. He said, the strategy that you are employing in this situation, how is that working for you? I'd tried it over and over and over again. And he said, how is that working for you? And I said, it's a disaster. And he said, well, why don't you try it my way instead of your way? And I want you to know that I love the pastors in the area here, but I haven't met a perfect pastor yet. I know when I saw myself in the mirror this morning, I didn't see a perfect pastor in there. I tease people about there was a time where I thought that a situation that manifested at our church, it had happened at a number of other churches, and I thought, you know what? I'm equipped to deal with this. I'm going to be, this is where this problem is going to stop. This person that had paraded from one church to another church to another church to another church to another church over and over and over again. So this is where it stops. And guess what? A little while later, I found out it didn't stop with me, and it didn't stop after me, and it's still going on. And I tell you what I did. I took Super Pastor Bob, and I took him out back, and I buried him, because that was the day that the super pastor mindset died inside of me, and it realized that I wasn't going to be able to solve everybody's problems. We need to know the purpose of what we're doing. Why do we sing? We sing because he's worthy. Why do we pray? We tell people all the time, we're not here just filling a portion of our service with something to do because we're trying to get the schedule to spread out till 12 o'clock. Most of the time, you'll find our people realize that making it 12 o'clock is not a problem. We have a malfunctioning clock that tends to go a little bit fast, it seems, so it gets to 12 o'clock before my message gets done. It's not the clock's fault, by the way. That's a joke. But to what purpose are we doing it? Do you know why your church receives tithes and offerings? It is not because they are all about money. It is about, it has little to do with the church itself. It has to do with Malachi chapter 3, where God says, I want you to bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. If you like for your church to be abundant and prosperous, but you're not giving, if you're not honoring the Lord with his tithe, which he decreed to be holy, then you need to ask yourself, why are you doing what you're doing? There's a lot of stuff. At church, we do a lot of evaluating, even if it's not on a formal basis. We do a lot of reflecting. We just had our annual business meeting about a week and a half ago. And after that annual business meeting, I went to some people. That was the first time that they had been to one of our business meetings. They had been to a number of business meetings at other churches that they had worked at. And I said, how does this business meeting compare with other business meetings that you've been in? Is there something that we could do better? You see, there's people that say if it doesn't get measured, it will never get better. If there's never any evaluation, it will never improve. Why are you doing what you're doing? Have you ever stopped to consider why you are, you know, I might really get in trouble here. Have you ever stopped to consider why you are not at church more than you are? Have you ever stopped to consider of why you wouldn't be late to work, but you might be late to church? Actually, you wouldn't be late to work, but you're constantly late to church. There are certain things that you might want to ask. Now, there may be some very good reasons for that. I'm not saying that just because those realities exist that there's not a valid reason for it. There can be many good reasons. But God here in through Isaiah said, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? Do you remember that it is for me and for my glory and my praise? Do you remember that? Back to the giving thing, do you remember that the giving is not just a ritualistic function, that when we receive tithes and offerings, it's not just a financial transaction, but it is a spiritual transaction that is taking place, that God says, my house is going to be full of meat. People are not going to starve spiritually. There are going to be needs met in the community. It is a glorious thing that takes place there. But also there, that he said, I will throw open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you do not have room enough to contain. That's what it says. And so there's a spiritual transaction that takes place, and that is when you and I honor God with our tithes and offerings, when we honor him with our gifts, the same way that these people offered their sacrifices, heaven is opened. We have access to the throne. Angels ascend and descend. It is spiritual life. God says, test me, prove me, see if it won't happen. There's a third thing that happens, and that is this. There is a rebuke of the devourer that goes forth, and that has a couple of different connotations. In an agrarian society, insects that would come along and eat the crop, that was a devourer. That was something that was undermining the amount of productivity and harvest that they were able to bring. And God said, I'm going to rebuke it. You're not going to have a bug problem. In our situation, people sometimes run into financial situations. Sometimes it can be from a lack of income, and sometimes it can be because there are too much expenses. And so God says that, you know, if we will begin to honor him, if we will begin to remember the purpose for the gift in the first place, that what will happen is either A, he's going to pour out a blessing from heaven that we don't have room enough to contain, or B, he's going to speak to the things that are sucking the life out of our finances, or C, he's going to do both. I like option C. I like option C. And so I forget where I was at. It was probably a National Day of Prayer event. They asked me to pray for the business people at the National Day of Prayer, and I prayed this prayer for every person that was there. God, I pray that you would bless each and every one of us into the very highest tax bracket, because if we get blessed into that level of taxation, that means that the level of income has increased dramatically. And so that's always a good thing. So he says that the way that the people were doing it was something that he found no pleasure in. You see, they were going through the motions of external obedience, but it wasn't something that was emanating from their heart. The reason, the highest reason that we honor God with tithes and offerings is because we love him. We love him more than our money. We love him more than our stuff. We love him more than all of the tangible goods that people can buy. I had a car that the transmission went out of here a few weeks ago. It actually went away, had another gear. It already had one gear go out. Another gear went out while I was away at my grandmother's funeral, and I took it. I was still able to drive it very slow, but got it to the scrapyard, and I found at the scrapyard mountains and mountains and mountains of things that were one time brand new, but now they were nothing but scrap. Huge quantities that were just waiting to be repurposed. People found no pleasure in them anymore. External obedience that doesn't come from the heart, it is a waste. It is a waste. Don't just go and do something because it's a ritual. When we give, we pray before we receive an offering, and we pray a blessing on the gift. We pray blessings on the giver. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. In fact, one of the men that is in our church, when God started blessing him, there he was working at a particular location, and God was blessing him just wonderfully, and there was the devil came in and tried to bring in blessing remorse, if you will, because he was getting blessed where other people who weren't honoring God with their finances and weren't living, they weren't getting blessed to the same degree, and this gentleman was almost feeling a little bit bad about it. And then he realized, he said, you know what, when I am doing what God wants me to do, he is going to bless me, and he doesn't add any sorrow to it. And the truth of the matter is, God can bless you and he can bless me. Him blessing you does not, It does not remove me from the possibility of being blessed as well. It's not a ration system. He is able to bless across the board. And so he says, bring no more, this is in verse number 43, bring no more futile sacrifices. Futility is something that when you do it, it does not accomplish the desired results. And so I want to ask you to analyze the things that you have going on in your life right now. And is there anything there that you would describe as futile? That it is, it's meaningless. It has no lasting effect, no eternal effect. It has no transformational value on you. It's not going to benefit you. It's not going to benefit anybody else. It is completely and totally futile. I had a job one time. It was dusting recreational vehicles on a gravel parking lot in the summertime of drought in Oklahoma. And they would keep the doors to these motor homes and travel trailers open. And when the wind came sweeping down the plains, it would just pick up the dust off of the gravel, and it would blow it right into the trailer or to the motorhome, and dust would get everywhere. And so one of my jobs was to go in and dust these motorhomes and our RVs. And no more would I leave than I would if I went back in there again, I would find that they were just as dusty as they were before. It was a futile job there. I've discovered then that I don't do futility well. I don't do futility well. And so bring no more futile sacrifices. Don't be spending time trying to do things that have no God-pleasing value in them. Instead, let's focus on the things that are pleasing and acceptable in His eyes. God literally says at the end of verse 13, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. The new moons and your appointed feast my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. Can you imagine, you know, the depth of feeling that God is expressing there? Let me tell you what it says there again. He says, I cannot endure the iniquity in the sacred meeting. Okay, those are two things that should not exist at the same time unless the iniquity is being laid at the altar and repented of at the sacred meeting. Sacred means holy. Sacred does not, contrary to modern definition, mean a place of emotional attachment. It's not the location of a traumatic event or a memorable event. Sacred means holy, set apart unto God. And he says, I cannot endure iniquity, which is sin. It is rebellion. It is missing the mark and the sacred assembly. God is looking for a people. He's looking for a church that will come before him in holiness, because without holiness, we cannot please God. Without faith, we will not see God. It requires both faith and holiness. And the truth of the matter is, we have everything that we need that has been provided so that we could deal with our sin issue. Ignoring sin will not resolve sin. If we choose to ignore it, if we choose to rationalize it, it will not provide for us the same effect or the same blessing that repenting and confessing to Jesus Christ will. God is not in the business of winking at sin. He's in the process of convicting so that he can empower us to live victorious over sin. He says, your appointed feast, my soul hates. Okay? I want you to really contemplate that. For just a moment, these were people who thought they were doing church the way that God wanted them to do church. They were doing the letter of the law, but they had missed the spirit of it. And as a result, God said, I hate coming to your church. I don't ever want God to say that about Merit Assembly of God. I don't want him to say it about our church. I don't want him to say it about any of the other churches here in Central Brevard County. I want God to say, man, I was glad when they invited me onto the throne of their praises so that I could demonstrate my glory and my greatness. But he said, I have no interest in being just one of their myriad of gods. I don't long to just be clumped in with a pantheon of false idols and false deities and mute objects of worship. God is looking to be treated as God. He said, they are a trouble to me and I am weary of bearing them. Now, I know what it's like to get tired of carrying something, but the thought of Almighty God, now I want you to know, he never gets tired of forgiving sins. He never gets tired of calling prodigals back into fellowship. He never gets tired of that. He never even gets tired of dealing with sinners. He was actually known as a friend of sinners. But it says when there are people who are going through the motions, but there is no passion there, there's no intensity, no love, he says, I'm weary of supporting that. I'm weary of supporting. So I go back to that first question we asked. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? What's the reason that you're doing it? There's a story I heard a long time ago, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But there was a mom who was cooking a pot roast, and the little girl, her daughter was watching her and said, well, Mom, why did you just cut off the 3 inches of the pot roast there? And she said, well, baby, that's the way my mama taught me to do it. And the little girl asked a question, why? And she said, you know, I never thought to ask that question. And so let's go ask her. And so they went and asked Grandma and said, Grandma, why do we cut the bottom 3 inches off of the roast? And she said, well, baby, that's the way my mama taught me to do it. And they said, well, why did she do that? And said, well, she's still alive. Let's go ask her. And so they went and they asked her and they said, Grandma, when you were cutting the bottom 3 inches off of the roast, why did you do that? And she said, well, baby, that was the biggest pan that I had. And so for all those years, there had been a purpose there had been good, functional protein, tasty pot roast that had been going to waste simply because nobody really knew why they were doing what they were doing. And I will tell you this, we don't preach the word so that I can have a job. That's not the purpose of it. Merit Assembly of God is not the Arthur's family business. It's the King's business. So we are there to build the kingdom. So here a little over a week ago, I was having a conversation with someone, I won't tell you who, and I was talking to them, and they've been at their job for quite some time. And when they started at that job, there was only one other person amongst, or a couple of other people amongst all of the people that they worked with that went to church, had a relationship with God. And now they're almost the entire workplace does. And so as I was talking to that person, I said this, you know what? That is kingdom growth. That is kingdom growth. That person goes to our church, and so I said that's kingdom growth. That's growth that is not going to show up at Merit Assembly of God, but it's going to show up in eternity. And God told me a long time ago, he said, if you will focus on building my kingdom, I will focus on building this congregation, because God's looking for people who will partner with him for the reason that he wants them to do something. And so, you know what we're here for? We're here to draw people to Jesus, or to point people to Jesus, to allow the Holy Spirit to draw them so Jesus can forgive them and introduce them to the Heavenly Father. That when the trumpet sounds and the Father leans over to Jesus and said, "Son, go get your bride," and the trump of God, or the trump of Christ, shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That there's people that are going to be part of that gathering that would not have been had Merit Assembly of God not existed. We exist for the betterment of God's kingdom for eternity. That missionaries, I remember being overwhelmed at the thought of $100 a month going to missions when I first came to the church. And now, you know, well, in 2015, we supported nearly 60 missionaries a month. Last year, we gave them all raises, nearly $70,000 went to missions. And I don't look at it and say, wow, I don't see how we could ever increase that. I look at it and say, wow, if God can do that, God can do even more. And so, I just want to challenge you. Take a little bit of time today and ask what the purpose of what you're doing is. Make sure that the things that you do for God, that you're not doing them in futility, that we're not doing it while embracing sin. Listen, sin is to be rejected. Sin is to be confessed and forsaken so that we can come into the presence of a holy God. We'll talk about more about that in Isaiah chapter 6. But today, I just want to encourage you. Let's not be a burden to God. Let's be a blessing to him. Let's praise him. Let's dwell together in the spirit of unity, so that where we are gathered in his name, he will come and dwell in the midst of us. May you have a Jesus-filled day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."